Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, September the 3rd, 2019. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue our study of the events that are taking place around us so that we might be properly prepared and strengthened for the fulfillment of the final days of your prophecy. We ask, Lord, today that you would give us the strength necessary and the understanding so that we might indeed represent you properly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In our last session, we began to take a look at an article found in the Southern Poverty Law Center website. And that article was published September the 25th, 2017. The writer of that article is Darrell Johnson. Now, the title of the article is Hate in God's Name. If you recall, we began that article in our very last session. And today we will continue to take a look at that same article, continuing from where we left off. So again, the title of the article is Hate in God's Name, found in the Southern Poverty Law Center website, published September the 25th, 2017. The writer of the article, Darrell Johnson. Our subheading today that we begin with is White Supremacists. White Supremacists. Last year, Dwayne Eugene Bond fatally stabbed an elderly man in Grants Pass, Oregon, during a domestic dispute. An Oregon couple was also indicted for chasing down and killing a 19-year-old black man with their vehicle. During 2015, the FBI arrested three men in Chesterfield, Virginia, for plotting to blow up African-American churches and Jewish synagogues as part of their plan to incite a race war. In 2014, Larry Stevens McWilliams fired more than 100 bullets into the Mexican consulate and Austin Police Department in Texas before dying in a shootout with police. Fraser Jen Miller also killed three people during a shooting rampage at Jewish facilities in Overland Park, Kansas, that same year. These violent white supremacists not only embraced the violent tenets of white supremacy, they also adhered to racist religious concepts that encouraged them to hate, conduct criminal activity, and engage in violence. This article will discuss white supremacists' use of religious concepts and scripture, specifically from Christian and Norse mythology, into their extremist ideology, group rituals, and calls for violence. White supremacists have literally hijacked these religions by twisting their beliefs and parables and using them to justify threats, criminal behavior, and violent attacks. Dating back decades, many white supremacists have embraced religious concepts and scripture borrowed from the Old Testament and the New Testament of the Bible. This is particularly applicable to Ku Klux Klan members, Christianity Identity adherents, and some neo-Nazis. White supremacists believe mainstream religions, including Christian denominations and their institutions, have fallen astray from God and are under the control and influence of Satan. As a result, white supremacists interpret scripture and spiritual parables through the lens of racially discriminate and hateful vision. In this way, they can justify their beliefs, which are vile and deplorable, as good, moral, and responsible. According to their propaganda, KKK members and Christian Identity adherents believe the Bible is the family history of the white race. They believe that white Christians are morally and spiritually superior to other races, and that the Old Testament 12 tribes of Israel represent the origins of the white race. That would be Anglo-Saxons, Teutonic, Scandinavian, Celtic, Basque, Lombard, Slavic, etc. Their beliefs advocate that God created other races as mud people, who have beast-like roles and lower standing to white men. They condemn race mixing and Jews who they perceive as enemies of God. They prefer believe whites are the only race that continually followed Jesus Christ. Such religious interpretation dehumanizes non-whites and provides spiritual justification and perhaps motivation to attack their enemies. KKK ideology uses the Bible along with its universal handbook, the Koran, that's K-L-O-R-A-N, as primary sources. The Koran, first published in 1916, is the KKK's rule book and the guidebook for clancraft, a term used to describe the KKK's beliefs, positions, and symbols and rituals. There are many biblical references in the Koran, that's K-L-O-R-A-N. Biblical symbolism is incorporated in KKK tradecraft, such as cross burnings, wearing white robes and hoods, symbolizing purity and cleanliness, baptisms and induction ceremonies. For example, KKK members equate cross burning to sending out the light of Christ to the world. Also, the KKK primary symbol, the Moak, which stands for mystic symbol of a clansman, or the blood drop cross, features a white cross with a red tear drop at the center. The blood drop cross symbolizes the atonement and sacrifice of Jesus Christ, as well as others who have shed their blood for the white race. Surprisingly, some KKK leaders are actually ordained ministers, and some have even organized churches which enjoy tax-exempt status. Examples include the Church of the National Knights of the KKK, Christian American Knights of the KKK, Knights of the White Disciples, and the Soldiers of the Cross Training Institute. The Christian Identity Movement is a racist religious philosophy sustained by a network of churches and ordained ministers. It claims that white people, not the Jews, are God's chosen people. The movement is comprised of both self-proclaimed followers who operate independently and organize groups that meet regularly or even live within insular communities. Its religious doctrine can be found online as well as in various books, pamphlets, and recorded speeches. Many Christian identity adherents believe they are living in the end times, thus mobilizing them to stockpile food, water, weapons, and ammunition in anticipation of an impending apocalypse. Some groups, such as the now-defunct Covenant Sword, Arm of the Lord, and Elohim Society, believe they have a role to play in hastening the second coming of Jesus Christ. Phinehas Priest is a unique concept within Christian identity. Phinehas Priest believe they have been called to be God's holy warriors for the white race. The term Phinehas Priest is derived from the biblical story of Phinehas, found in the book of Numbers, chapter 25, which adherents interpret as justifying the killing of interracial couples. Phinehas' priesthood followers have advocated martyrdom and also violence against homosexuals, mixed-race couples, and abortion providers. White supremacist author Richard Kelly Hoskins wrote about the alleged history of the Phinehas priesthood in his book Vigilantes of Christian. Also, a unique and dangerous brand of Christian identity called dual seed line doctrine teaches that Jews are the literal offspring of Satan through Eve's impregnation by the snake at the tree in the Garden of Eden. According to dual seed line doctrine, the white race continued through Adam and Eve's son Abel and other children, while the Jewish race began with their other son Cain. Further, they believe the biblical story of Cain slaying Abel suggests a Jew murdered the first white offspring, starting a war between whites and Jews, which continues to this day. Now, let me just make sure that you understand what I'm reading from here. I'm reading from the Southern Poverty Law Center website, an article entitled Hate in God's Name. It was published on September the 25th, 2017. And the writer of the article is Daryl Johnson. Now, this is part two We read part one in our very last session. And if you're looking for that part one, you might be able to find that on our website, timewatchministries.org.net or .com, whichever you find. Continuing the article. Finally, some neo-Nazis believe the swastika has biblical origins dating back to the time of Adam. According to Aryan Nations literature, the swastika represents the revolving resurrection cross and the promise of the Messiah, which was fulfilled in Jesus Christ's death on the cross. Further, Aryan Nation members were taught that the open-handed salute, the one that you see Hitler doing, has always been used by the white race to acknowledge God in the heavens and our dependence on him for strength and succor. The group literature also states that. One of the other things that they use is something called the North mythology concept. That's N-O-R-S-E, mythology concept. Racial Nordic mysticism is most commonly embraced by neo-Nazis, racist skinheads, and Aryan prison gang members. It is most prolific among younger white supremacists, followers of Norse mythology worship Nordic gods, such as Thor and Odin. It operates through an autonomous, loose-knit network of adherents who congregate online and meet in person. While supremacists typically recruit others into racial Nordic mysticism either online, through group meetings, or within American correctional institutions, there are other ways of meeting together. Odinism and Ashtaroth are the most popular North mythological religions embraced by white supremacists. These non-Christian religious philosophies are not inherently racist, but have been exploited and embraced by white supremacists due to their symbolically strong image of Aryan life and Anglo-Saxon heritage. Aryan prison gangs may also have another reason for declaring affiliation with Odinism due to prison privileges, such as special dietary needs or extra time to worship given to those inmates who claim membership in a religious group. For many white supremacists, Norse mythology features folklore of revenge and battles between forces of good and evil, which resonate with white supremacist views of today's society. The story-like nature of Norse mythology also appeals to the younger generation of white supremacists who reject Christianity as a weak religion and who may find it difficult to understand biblical language and hidden messages in parables. Norse mythology also predicts a coming apocalypse or end time where the forces of good will unite in a great battle against a devil-like figure, and many will die. Further, ancient North warriors, called berserkers, continue to inspire some white supremacists today who depict their fearless soldiers in prison drawings and may attempt to emulate them. Chip Burley, senior analyst for Political Research Associates, points out that some white supremacists may be attracted to Norse mythology as a result of their affinity towards Greek mythology, Celtic lore, or interest in Nazi Germany. Nazi leaders celebrated Nordic myths and used Nordic symbolism for their images of heroic warriors during World War II. These myths were the basics of Wagner's Ring opera cycle and influenced Hitler, who merged them with his distorted understanding of his philosophy of the centrality of will and the concept of his thinking, which Hitler turned into the idea of an Aryan master race. Lastly, neo-Nazi groups such as the National Alliance and Volksfront have used symbols of Norse mythology, such as the life rune, in their group's insignias and propaganda. Similarly, Aryan prison gangs have also been known to write letters and inscribe messages on tattoos using the runic alphabet. What are some of the other religious concepts? Another example of a white supremacist religious concept is the creativity movement. Ben Klassen is credited with creating this religion for the white race in Florida in 1973. Klassen authored two primary religious texts for the creativity movement, Nature's Eternal Religion and The White Man's Bible. Creativity emphasizes moral conduct and behavior for the white race, including its 16 commandments. Notice it's 16 now. And defined five fundamental beliefs of creativity. Klassen has a vision that every worthy member of the creativity religion would become an ordained minister in the Church of the Creator. Followers of the creativity movement have carried out violent crimes such as mass shootings, arson, attempted bombings, and murder. It was February the 13th, 1983. Gordon Call, who often referred to himself as a Christian patriot, had just murdered a deputy U.S. Marshal on a lonely stretch of highway outside of Medina, North Dakota. Two other lawmen were shot as well, as Khan's son, Yuri. A second U.S. Marshal later died of his wounds. Yuri and a deputy sheriff survived. The gun battle between a group of sovereign citizens leaving a posse comitatus meeting and four lawmen erupted while authorities were attempting to serve an arrest warrant on Carl during a traffic stop for failing to appear. After rushing his son to the local medical clinic for aid, Carl fled the scene in the sheriff's deputy car. While on the run, Carl wrote a 16-page letter to a fellow sovereign citizen stating the motive behind his attack. He wrote, "We are engaged in a struggle to the death between the people of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. It started long ago and is now best described as a struggle between Jacob and Esau." He also wrote, "If you've been paying tithes to the synagogue of Satan under the second plank of the Communist Manifesto to finance your own destruction, stop right now and tell Satan tithing collectors, as I did many years ago, never again will I give aid and comfort to the enemies of Christ. Mystery Babylon, with all its greatness, will be destroyed." On June the 4th, 1983, Gordon Call died in a shootout near Smithville, Arkansas. But not before he killed another lawman who attempted to confront Call in a burning farmhouse. Today, Gordon Call is looked upon as a modern-day patriot martyr by many sovereign citizens, militia extremists, and other radicals on the alt-right. The sovereign citizen movement is a loosely organized collection of groups and individuals who believe that virtually all forms of state and federal governments are illegitimate. Sometimes referred to as constitutionalists, freemen, or common law advocates, they use tactics such as harassment, threats, and intimidation against their enemies. Sovereign citizens have been known to establish common law courts, to issue fake indictments and bogus arrest warrants against public officials. Sovereign citizens have also been known to violent attacks, even kill government officials and others. Sovereign citizens have a long and strong presence on the internet and exploit the public's frustration over tax increases, mortgages, and credit card interest rates, and perceptions of government greed and corruption to recruit new members. Due to the high level of sovereign citizens' encounters and related criminal activity, law enforcement, government officials, and academics are keenly aware of it. Few, however, understand that sovereign citizens' actions are oftentimes based on religious beliefs. For most sovereigns, belief about the law are explicitly religious beliefs, says Spencer Due and Jamie Wright of the University of Chicago's Martin Marty Center for the Advanced Study of Religion. This cannot be overstated. They link their beliefs to points across a broad constellation of existing religious traditions. Core sovereign citizen beliefs are based on their own version of law that is derived from a combination of the Magna Carta, the Bible, the English Common Law, and various 19th century state constitutions. Central to their argument is the view of a supreme being having embodied every person with certain inalienable rights, as stated in the U.S. Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, and the Bible. So that is who we're dealing with here. And of course, you look at these individuals and sometimes you think that this is just about violence. It's just about crime. It's just about murder, as we shall see as we continue in this article, because this is just part two. You will see that there is a direct religious connection to everything that they do. These mass killings, the way they approach it, the way they go after it, the way they push it, the way they recruit, is all based upon a religious conviction that they have concerning who they are, their religion directly chained in a bond with white nationalism, racism, etc. The article is found in the Southern Poverty Law Center website. It was published on September the 25th, 2017. This is just part two that we read today. And in our next session, we will continue with part three. But it was written by Daryl Johnson. And the title of the article is Hate in God's Name. Hate in God's Name. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you continue to reveal to us the events that are taking place around us. And sometimes we look at these events and we think that they're simply based upon criminal activity, when in actual fact, we recognize that they are bound together by an apostate kind of belief system that they claim to be religious. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to embrace truth and be ready for the time to come, knowing that ultimately there will be a direct confrontation between truth and error, and that those who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus will become the targets of those who hate God's word. Give us the strength that we need and the protection that we cannot do without. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your Daily Briefing, September the 3rd, 2019.